Welcome to Book It, a bi-weekly podcast where we talk frankly about books.
My name is Jill.
And my name is Michael.
Catch us every other Wednesday talking about books, publishing, indie bookstores, chatting with authors, and so much more.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Book It Pod for more Book It content.
Want to read something you heard about on today's episode? Visit us at bookshop.org/shop/BookItPod.
Okay, before we get started, Jill, I would be remiss if I didn't mention, what is this, episode 5 of season 3? We received the most amazing, I'm going to call it fan mail.
I like the story already.
Yeah, at the end of season 2, and it's someone who listens a lot, as evidenced by her message. And I just like didn't want it to go without mention. And her name is Trish. And Trish, we love you. Thank you for your kind words. We love that you love the podcast and that you've been encouraged to read some of the books we've talked about. It's just such a delight.
Her email was so nice. And I think the day you first reached out to me about it, I was like, it's not even worth getting into, but this has been a crappy day. And oh my gosh, yeah. Like I suddenly feel like life is worth living. And I think you said same or something along those lines.
Yeah,
we don't take enough time to like share compliments.
I know.
Of things we love.
I know. We just always collectively just are endlessly talking about the things that annoy us and never the things that bring us joy. And I'm glad that someone feels like we're bringing them joy. So thank you, Trish.
It totally made my day.
Now, Jill, how are you?
Oh, man. As people can probably tell, I am unwell. I have not left my house for almost 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
I have pneumonia, but I'm on the upswing now. So I'm trying to push through. I have good drugs and codeine and steroids now. So it was a little dicey there for a few days. So they thought things I didn't know, and I won't bore you with all the details, but there's different kinds of pneumonia caused by different kinds of bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And different antibiotics are more or less effective depending on what kind of bacteria it is. So it's good. It's much better now.
Good.
And I'm hoping I get to leave my house by, I don't know, sometimes next week. But overall, 0 stars, do not recommend.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it really feels like it happened fast. Like you were not feeling well last time we recorded. You had mentioned Mark was like the one that was more sick. And then the next day you were like, hi, I'm very ill.
Yes. Yeah. I think a lot of people will relate with this, but especially people who are parents, is a lot of times when you don't feel good, it's like, yeah, I don't feel good, but we got to get shit done.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get candygrams out for the middle school. And I realize now when I say all these things out loud, given where we are, how stupid this sounds. And I got that finished. And all of a sudden it was like, no, this is not a cold. Like, hello. Yeah. And when I took the real gut check was I dropped the candygrams off at school. And I had like taken a shower and put clothes on. And so comparative to how I had been, I thought like, great.
Yeah.
I walked in the office at school and all 3 secretaries were like, oh my God, you look like you are so sick. And I was like, oh, maybe I
tried
am?
Really hard not to. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I had a really terrible night and my husband was like, you have to call the doctor's office. I just kept getting worse and worse and worse. It was, anyway, I don't want to bore people. It is dramatically improved now, but, you know, apologies to Maddie. I'm sitting here with my box of Kleenex and my giant water, and I still can't quite breathe through my nose, so I feel like she's going to be, like, editing out, like, nose blows, drinking, and panting. Like, I just don't even know what to say.
That is the name, the title of this episode. Nose, planting. Which is very, very, that could have been the title episode of our romance novels one. I mean, based off of our conversation.
Oh my gosh. I am still experiencing like post-traumatic embarrassment. Is that a thing? It's like a new thing I've coined.
Yes.
And I realized after like several times, I was like, oh yeah, no, no, it's fine. I'll say this word or that word, or I need to be comfortable saying this word so we can move on with the conversation. And then I realized that my mother listens to some of these, and I just like all over again was like, oh my gosh. And a thing we didn't even talk about, but like, I'm so impressed. Couple of our local Bookstagram friends.
Yes.
Love romances and yes. are very pro.
Yeah, romance.
What's the phrase I'm looking for? Taking care of your own needs.
Oh, uh huh.
And have you seen this on Instagram? Like, they've been doing this pairing of like equipment and books.
Yeah, sex toys and books.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. You're welcome. Why am I bringing this up again? Like, as if it wasn't embarrassing enough last week. I was like, hey, let's relive it. And
they are trying to normalize it, and we are just part of that.
Yes, and right they're now, doing we're so much it. Better. Yes. They're like, hey, this is what you can look like on the other side. And yeah, I'm like, absolutely. Hey, if this is what it feels like when you're trying to get there, you're not alone. What brave, brave, brave ladies and good work they're doing.
Excellent work for everyone. Yeah, I've been thinking about that episode a lot. And it has yet to come out. I mean, at the time we were recording this, so I cannot wait. I'm a little nervous.
I assume it's going to coincide with like some new group of people meeting me, because that's what happens when I embarrass myself in public. Yes.
I was trying to tell Maddie about it on the phone the other day. I was just like, so we just recorded, as I was telling her, like, hey, like, Jill was in the hospital, so we're going to, like, not be able to record. And we were just chatting, and I told her that we did the romance novels one. And even, like, telling her, who I know well and love and don't ever feel awkward around, it was hard for me to say certain words. So I was like, so I did the opposite, where I was just screaming them into the phone. Because, like, if I'm embarrassed about it, I just have to, like, let it fill up my home.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Well, if you can't already tell, this episode has absolutely no agenda. We are just chatting as friends do, because we, in going back and listening to the episodes to edit them, if we cut out all of our sidebars, we would have like 10-minute episodes. And I just thought that it would be fun just to have an episode all about sidebars. Some of it will be book related. Some of it will just be catching up. And part of it was just because I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts, Keeping Records, and they typically have a guest, but they weren't able to have one on. It was like last minute. So it was just them chatting. And it was one of the most delightful episodes of theirs that I'd ever heard. So I was just like, I want to do that. Because often Jill and I just like before we record, we'll chat for like 20 minutes. And then we'll chat for like 40 minutes afterwards. And I find what we have to say to each other interesting. So I thought this would be fun.
So we knew that was the plan for today. And we both got on and we looked at each other. And neither of us was willing to speak because we didn't want to lose this conversation.
Yes,
and
to waste
the
content.
That was just my favorite moment of like 30 seconds of silence of us just looking at each other like.
Yeah. Do you think that's how influencers feel? Where they're just like, they don't ever say anything without recording it.
Oh.
Because like that's exhausting to me. I cannot imagine being like an influencer of literally nothing where you're just like influencing your personality. Sounds exhausting and horrible and terrible because
it's
like.
It really does.
Because that was hard. I did just want to start chatting with you, but it was like, oh no, let's record.
Yes. Yeah. Save it for the podcast.
Are we done?
I can't even tell you. So, like, I wanted to be able to, like, minimize the coughing and the wheezing. So, I brought forward by an hour my next dose of cough medicine.
Oh, good.
And so, I just really love that we're doing this kind of loosely organized thing on a day that, like, my brain is like cotton candy. It's going to be great.
You aren't going to remember this. In season two, something very similar happened where you were sick and you were taking cold medicine. And then like weeks later, we were planning the rest of our season. and you had given an idea for an episode, and I wasn't like really responding to it, and you thought I just didn't like it.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, Joe, we've already recorded that. Like, we recorded that like 3 weeks ago. And you were like, we did? And yeah. you've mentioned that like cold medicine, like its side effects deeply affect you.
Yes. I am super sensitive to whatever it is that they put in cold medication. And you know, like, I don't know, like if you read on the box, it's like, you know, short-term memory, it's all these things. And you're like, okay, thanks. Right. Insert cold medicine name. Yeah, right. But like, no, really.
Absolutely. Well, but other than being bedridden, what else have you been up to lately?
Well, I'm a gamer now.
Oh.
Yeah.
How? What does that mean?
Right. Okay. So the kids have a Nintendo Switch.
So does my kid. I mean, husband.
Yeah, I should say my kid / husband. We still, at some point, I know we've talked about this sidebar a million times on this podcast. We have to get Mark and Josh together because, like, sometimes I swear they're the same person. Anyway, so the kids have a Nintendo Switch, but we have one. And so they have to do, like, multiplayer games or they have to share it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, their parents are horribly abusive to them. The horror of it. So... For about 2 years now, Pippa has been saving up to buy her own Nintendo Switch Lite.
Oh, really?
Yes, just saving. But they're like $250 or something time you get like the case. And
yeah.
I think the thing itself is $200. So she'd been saving. And, you know, we were talking about what to do for Christmas. And we had to be able to take it in our luggage, so it couldn't be very big. And I said, why don't we just get her the Switch and the case and everything. Mark's like, yeah, great idea. So we did that, and she loves Animal Crossing. She plays it every time it's her turn, she just plays Animal Crossing. So then we got home. Well, of course, now we have two of these, and the kids want to like both be on at the same time and go to one another's islands. Are you familiar at all with Animal Crossing?
Enough to know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so like you live on a pretend deserted island with anthropomorphized animals. And you have to like build a town. So then they want to go to each other's islands. So then, of course, we had to get another copy of Animal Crossing. So then we have two copies. And then because we started this in those very early days of lockdown when you weren't allowed to go or do anything, Mark and I had characters. So then they were like, oh, Mom and Dad, you should play with us. So then we had this like complex thing. Only two people could play at a time, and there's six of us. And then I got sick and I was confined to the couch, and I was like, fuck it. I got on Facebook Marketplace and I bought another Nintendo Switch. And then, because I think I've shared this on the podcast, my husband is fiscally responsible.
Wait, fiscally responsible?
He was like, we're not buying any more copies of this game. You know, we don't need to buy another. We don't need four copies of this game. I'm like, oh, okay. And, you know, like the kids are, we had two snow days and everybody's like stuck in the house. Only it wasn't snow where you could go outside and play in it. It literally rained ice for like 16 hours.
Here. Yes.
And so I was like, again, fuck it. And just downloaded another copy of Animal Crossing onto this additional Switch that I had bought. And that gave me my own island. And I've gotten into it now that I have my own version. And I like check in on it every day. This only gets stupider the more I say, but there we are. Here we are. You get these little animal villagers. And it just so happened that two of my villagers were sheep. And then I was like, wouldn't it be funny if all of my villagers were sheep? And then Pippa, because she's a teen and aren't they amazing, she gets online and she finds this like website where you can like exchange game-based money and items to get other people's villagers. It's like a villager trafficking on the internet.
Oh.
And she set this up to like trade my one non-sheep for a sheep. And now I have three sheep. And then I was like, how do we get more sheep? And then we found where you can buy these little cards and they'll have the sheep come visit your island and they visit enough times and then you have them, but those cost real money. So then I spent like $8 buying a fake sheep for my island. Michael, I've lost my mind.
You're like a crypto bro.
Yes. I'm going to need a Patagonia fleece. Do they wear those?
The shore.
Yeah. I can't explain it.
It's okay. I would imagine almost everyone listening is going to relate to this in some way. Cause like it's just like my personality by accident. I don't want it to be, but I just like have never had any interest remotely in games at all. And it's like the number one, if my marriage has any problems, it's that, because Josh loves games and he loves like all games, like board games and video games and like just like games with friends. And I'm just like, can't we just hang out and just talk and watch a movie? And I just hate it. And even my friend Eden once at the beginning of COVID just had texted me like, do you know Animal Crossing? And I could feel her energy being like, going to try and convince me to start one. And I said to her, I was like, yes, I know what Animal Crossing is. And no amount of you talking about it is going to make me sign up for it. So let's just like stop there. So my point being that like, I am the cheese and the cheese stands alone. I don't actually think you are that unusual for this. I'm very happy for you. It reminds me of like a newer version of like, I mean, everyone's going to laugh at me. Like, and having like a Tamagotchi or a Nano pet.
Oh, sure. Okay. Absolutely.
Which I loved. Yeah. Those were fun.
I tried to explain Sims to the kids.
Oh, okay.
Or, you know, when we played Oregon Trail.
Yeah. See, and I hate Sims. It's just boring.
I was never into, we never had Sims, so I couldn't really be into it. This is the first video game thing I've really ever gotten that into. I've never owned a video game device before, but apparently, or it's the cold medicine, and I'm going to come out of this and be like, what was that?
You're not going to remember any of it.
Yeah.
That I can't wait for.
Yeah. It's going to be amazing. So well, what's up with you?
Not a whole lot. Work has been absolutely insane, but like in the most best fun way. It's just like, I just feel really, I'm busy, but it's really fun busy. And yeah, so most of my time is spent doing work stuff, obviously, but I am finally finding a rhythm where I can like write more and read more for myself. And the last June I spoke, I was starting Sense and Sensibility.
Oh, that's right.
I'm very nearly done with it. It is really just an absolute joy. So not what I expected so far. Like, so the adaptation being so faithful, but also so different makes reading it really, really fun. So I don't want to talk about it in too much detail because I want to wait until I'm done to discuss it with you. But just the writing style was such a surprise because I knew how like books were written then, but maybe I said this to you already, but the movies are so dialogue driven and the book isn't that dialogue driven. Like, it's very internal. And then the dialogue is like three paragraphs. And it's not very like back and forth, where the movies are very back and forth. And it just gives me such an appreciation for the adaptations, like the work they had to do to actually write like new dialogue from the text.
Have you gotten to the point where Eleanor and Marianne kind of have a Marianne realizes how much she underestimated
Eleanor?
Yeah.
I don't know. They just met Edward's brother at the music party.
Oh, you're not there yet.
Okay,
yeah. Okay. There is a part at the end of the book where Marianne is just like, I didn't know. And Eleanor is like, I have suffered so much.
Yes. And, I mean, I'm not there yet, but in the movie, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And you're just like, because the subtlety of the writing is like, you know, you get this impression of it, but it's just, it doesn't beat you over the head because it's not talked about.
Something that I love in the book is how, and they do this in the movie too, but like reading it is so touching. It's just how much the two older sisters especially like really love each other. They are very different, but they are so protective of one another.
Yeah.
Like when they meet Edward's mom and she's just being awful, Marianne just like so quickly comes to Eleanor's defense about the paintings she did or something.
Yeah.
And it just was like instinctive and like just like this animalistic need to protect her older sister that was just like so sweet and understandable and like showed she did it in a way that was appropriate for her age. She's quite young. So it was like a little explosive and like out of nowhere. Like it was not subtle, but which is what I like about it too, because it's like Marianne, that is true to Marianne's nature. Like she wears her emotions on her sleeve.
Yeah. I feel like Edward's sister is like the OG mean girl, you know?
I know. Oh, that's such a good way to put it. She's awful. And she's just like, and so manipulative to her husband, her husband's a moron. I mean, like,
yeah,
I don't want to say wet blanket, but he just like is so easy to manipulate. It's so annoying. But other than that, I am doing more writing, which I'm very happy about. The Super Bowl just happened. If you don't know us personally, Jill and I live in Cincinnati, so it was a very exciting time around here. I literally have not watched a football game in many years, and we went over to our friend Lily's house for a little viewing party. Lily, I don't know if she's listening, but Lily knows so much about football. So it was like the perfect situation where like we were all really casual eating like veggie Skyline chili dip and like gabbing, talking about like Euphoria and all these things. And Lily was like interacting and talking with us, but then also paying attention to the game. So we would know like what was going on and then teaching me stuff. And it was one of the more fun experiences watching the Super Bowl because I actually watched the game, but it was also one of the most awful experiences watching the Super Bowl because I actually watched the game.
Mark is not like a huge watch all the games all weekend, every weekend person, but he is a Bengals fan.
Yeah.
And he does catch the Bengals game every week. That's his time. He's so busy. That is his like chill.
Yeah.
And it's always a little bit of a battle because the kids are always like, can we turn on a movie? Like, we sit down and they want to do, like, something completely different.
Absolutely.
And we're, like, beating them off. Like, no, we're going to take 2 hours to do what Dad wants to do.
Yeah.
So I think he was kind of surprised. Like, I kind of rallied the kids and made them watch all these playoff games. He was just so genuinely excited about it. And he was talking a lot about when he was, I guess, 11, the last time the Bengals, I don't know what the right terminology is, went to the playoffs or were in the Super Bowl or whatever.
Yeah, went to the Super Bowl, yeah.
He was 11. And so he'd been talking a lot about, you know, like watching football as a kid. And, you know, I just thought it was really cool. And I was like, all right, you know, this isn't really something our family does, but like, why not? Other people do. So all of the playoff games, I don't know, were there 2 or 3 of them or whatever? He had little snacks and we watched, the whole family watched. So then now the kids were like excited about it. I mean, it's so random and also so Cincinnati and so very specific Anderson where I live. Uh-huh. Pippa and Truman's math teacher's brother is not the field goal kicker, but the other kicker. I know the word. Give me a second. He's the punter.
Okay.
I guess like a million points for coming up with that.
Yes, well done. I was never going to get that. I was like, line kicker.
Right, I don't know. Yeah. Okay, so he's the punter. That's the person who, after someone scores a goal, and they reset and start for a new thing. This is the best description of football you're ever going to get.
Yeah, wait.
He's the person who kicks the ball to like start off the new...
I know what you mean. Play Ta-da. Or whatever. Yeah.
And
is goal correct or is it touchdown?
I don't know. I guess it's a touchdown. It's a touchdown and a field goal. Okay. Listen, Michael.
No.
Supportive wife with pneumonia.
You are doing amazing.
I am doing the work. Pippa and Truman's math teacher's brother is already forgotten. The punter. The punter.
Yeah.
In addition to doing punts. He's the person who, when you go to kick a field goal, they throw the ball to a person and they hold it. You know, like Lucy in Charlie Brown?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's his
job. Now I'm with you. Okay.
He grew up in Anderson. His brother's the math teacher at the middle school. It's like the most Anderson story you could possibly tell. And somehow that connection, the actual Bengals mascot came to my kid's school last week.
Oh, cool.
Like, and they did a spirit theme day. They had like Joe Cool Day for Joe Burrow. And like, he's the quarterback. And you had to wear bling because he wears bling.
He has lots of bling. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw the necklace. And they one of the guys wears socks. They had like a sock day. I mean, the whole thing. They went all out. So the kids were like pumped up.
Yeah.
Crazy excited. A little bit hard. They send them home from school on Friday at like peak pumped up. They'd had like a quote unquote tailgate party at school.
Jeez.
And they came off the bus thinking the Super Bowl started in like 5 minutes.
Right.
And then, you know, I had to be like, no, it actually starts at 6:30 p.m. on Sunday.
Wow. You don't think about that, huh?
Oh, my goodness gracious. And then, like, I love my husband, but he's very good at making breakfast. Other kinds of food are not
his thing.
That
must be a dad thing, because my dad's also very good at breakfast.
Our snacks for the playoffs had mostly been chips and salsa and chips and dip and chips with a side of chips.
Uh-huh.
And one time there was also M&Ms.
Okay.
And I was like, now look, literally, there's like two good things about football. One is the food, and the other is the commercials. And that one only happens during the Super Bowl. So we have got to get this together. I am not having chips with a side of chips.
For hours.
So I had been like low-key sending him recipes on Instagram for like a week and a half. And he was like not taking the hint. So then I went ahead and bought all the ingredients and they just showed up at the house. And it was like, oh, surprise. And I'm sick. So you're going to have to help me make these.
Yep.
But we had, I mean, a buffet for 20. Every viral football appetizer that happened in the last 2 weeks.
There actually, that reminds me, sidebar, of I saw this viral mac and cheese recipe that it looked horrifying.
Is this the one with the hot dogs?
It's the one with the hot dogs.
And I was going to send it on the counter? Yes.
And I was going to send it to you as your next experiment since you did the... What was the other one?
Oh, the SpaghettiOs.
Like, yeah.
The SpaghettiO pie.
Yeah, it had the same energy as that.
Yes, it did. That was disgusting.
Yeah, that looks awful.
No. Okay, so that's a hard pass.
Okay.
But, wait, I'm forgetting. Are you a vegetarian?
I am a vegetarian, yeah.
Okay, then this won't apply. So the one thing, well, I found two recipes that I definitely want to put, like, on my regular, like, if you ask me to bring an appetizer.
Okay, perfect.
Buffalo chicken wontons.
Oh.
They were amazing.
My mouth is literally, I mean, I'm a vegetarian, but I'm not a sociopath. Meat is delicious. That sounds delicious. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the Hawaiian rolls? And you slice, make slices in them, and you fill it with garlic butter and this cheese mixture and pepperoni, and then you bake it in the oven.
Oh, I can find veggie pepperoni for that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you should. It's got like five kinds of cheese.
Oh, say no more.
Yeah, it was super easy and delicious. But those buffalo chicken wontons, man, that's my – I can't wait for summer now. People have, you know – me over, I'm coming with buffalo chicken wontons.
My friend Amy made, I mean, this is only going to sound good to like vegetarian person. Like, I get that I'm making a lot of allowances here, but it was like buffalo cauliflower.
Oh, I've heard that's good.
It was delicious. I honestly, I'm getting into cauliflower because cauliflower is one thing as a vegetarian. I was like, this is hard to make taste good. But
I love roasted cauliflower.
Okay. No, yeah. So I found a bunch of delicious roasted cauliflower recipes, one of which is from one of the loves in my life, Anthony from Queer Eye. On Queer Eye, he did a roasted
yes, that's the one I do too.
Yes, we made it the next night, and it's one of the best things I've ever had.
I mean
that's hyperbolic.
I re-fell in love with cauliflower using that same recipe. He has a cookbook. Look, I'm gonna bring it back around. He has a cookbook.
Have you? Neither of us have read it. Excellent. Well,
I know, because you know I don't enjoy cookbooks in general, but he does have a cookbook.
We have his first one. I got it for Josh for his birthday a couple years ago, and it's good. There's a lot of meat in it, so we don't we can't cook a lot.
Is it all appetizers? He's so appetizer focused.
No, not the one that we have.
That's good. I have a reading update.
Oh, please tell me.
So hold on, I'll grab the paper because no one but you can see it, but I feel like you need a visual aid for part of the story.
Uh-huh.
You're welcome. Here, Maddie.
Yeah. You're welcome. Made me do that a little bit more.
My God, I'm so stupid. Okay. I am doing Libro FM's 2022 audiobook challenge.
I'm sure some of our listeners are also doing it as well.
I bet so. If you are doing it, you have to like DM us and I want to know how it's going. But also, I think if other people are doing it, you're going to be like excited about how I feel about this.
Okay.
Or at least I hope you are because yeah. Anyway, let me go on. Okay. So there's 22 challenges for 2022. It's like two a month if you're going to like spread things out. Yeah. And it's got categories like, you know, listen to a bookseller recommended audiobook, listen to a new release in the first week it's out, which wow. I got to do like some planning there.
Yeah.
And then it's got a bunch about supporting authors who get, you know, tend to get less support in media marketing dollars, you know, listening to an indigenous author, an Arab author, a Black author. And I really liked the marketing that they did behind the list. And like over that first like New Year's weekend, I just like it kept coming up in my stories and I was like getting really excited about it.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it regardless. Here's the thing. And I know I talk about Libro FM a lot. They do not sponsor us in any way. And they probably won't want to after I say this.
Oh, great.
But I feel like they should. And here's why. This is a super cute idea.
Yeah.
I need it to be better.
Tell me more.
Please hire me to like rebuild this entire thing. So like it's not cute. Like I showed you the picture.
Sure.
It's okay. They're marketing it on social media. It's a PDF.
Uh-huh.
A one color PDF with one graphic. It has like no cute layout.
Yeah.
The tracking on it is like a little dot. Like just check it.
Right. Yeah.
Like the bar
not particularly engaging.
Is so low. And I want to be like, no, why isn't this on your app?
Yes. Actually, I'm shocked that it isn't.
Like, why isn't it colorful and on your app? And like when I click on things in the app, it like takes me to recommendations.
That's and, a like, genius idea, Jill.
Why? Since this started, it is now the middle of February when we're recording this. I don't see them posting any updates. Surely people Weird. Are doing this. Libro FM.
We love
this
you.
This is a wonderful idea, and I love and support you as a company, as a cause.
Yeah.
This needs to be like a full year marketing campaign. I have a million ideas. This is fun, but I just need it to be better.
Yeah, 2023, reach out to us.
Yeah, first of all, instead of Libro FM's 2022 audiobook challenge.
Oh, it's not called 22 for 22?
No, I know.
Oh, Jill.
No. No, that's just one of the things I want to do with this. Okay?
That you bring to the table.
Yes. Okay. Like Libro FM, call me. First of all, I plug you on the show like every
Endlessly,
episode.
Endlessly. Yes.
I am a fan and a user, but in this one case, feedback is a gift and I have a gift for you.
Yeah. Wow, that's spicy. Amazing. Talk to me about your reading though. How's it going this year so far?
It's a flaming hot pile of garbage.
It's been hard.
I have read 3 books.
Yeah.
Now, in my defense, I just finished A Gentleman in Moscow by, I'm going to murder his name. Is it Amar Tolles?
Oh, I don't know.
I finished it a couple weeks ago. I recorded an Instagram story about it, but I think forgot. Did I forget to post it or did I post it?
I can't. You've talked to me about this book before, though.
I need a way to figure out whether or not I posted it to the
I can find it. It will be in our archives.
The stories. First off, I'm the last person on earth to read this book. The hardcover was published in 2016. It was out in paperback in 2019. It's sold 2 million copies. It's in 30 languages. Sidebar, the audio is not for the faint of heart. At standard speed, it's 17 hours and 51 minutes. It's an 18-hour audiobook. Did I know any of that when I started? No.
Of course not.
It was just, you know, the first category on the audiobook challenge is bookseller recommended. And on my recommendations for you page, it had a little button that said bookseller recommended. And I was like, great, download. And I liked the cover because I'm a garbage person.
Of course. Yeah.
So, you know, no, I somehow am simultaneously super knowledgeable about books and publishing and incredibly clueless. Anyway, this book is everything.
Yeah.
And I almost called you like 20 times during it, strictly to talk to you about the language in this book.
Okay.
And the word choice and the phrases and the description. Like, it's so beautiful that I like don't have the words that I want to describe it.
You know that's my like whole thing.
I know. And I found myself, okay, on the audio on Libro.fm, you can like bookmark little spots as you read and like write a note to yourself. I was bookmarking metaphors because they were so, I just don't even know how to describe it. And sometimes it would be like talking about something in like a really plain way.
Sure.
Or something, talking about something mundane.
Mm-hmm.
But in this way that was like just beautiful.
Yes.
And I mean, analogies, metaphors, I bookmarked them. I mean, like the moment of heartbreak in this book are like so quietly anguishing.
Mm.
It's like they can crush you in a whisper. It's like the polar opposite of like a Marvel movie.
Oh,
like,
okay. You have literally, say no more.
Right? And I haven't even told you what the book is about. So there's this Russian aristocrat who is sentenced to live his life in this luxury hotel across the street from the Kremlin, basically, during the 1920s. And it goes from the 1920s through the 1950s, both, you know, the two world wars, well, the tail end of World War One, World War II, the Communist Revolution, all the way from, you know, the whole thing. Animal Farm with people. But it's so interesting. But it is just, I don't know how to describe it. It made me fall in love with language.
Oh, God, Jill. I have to read this now.
I would just back up. I mean, I've committed to listening to an 18-hour book. And I would be like, oh, 10 seconds back. I just want to hear that sentence again. Wow.
Oh, that is one of my favorite experiences in reading, is just like not being able to escape the language.
It's like a really tender and heartbreaking and also hopeful story.
Yeah.
For me, the plot was, of course, good and I enjoyed it.
Of course.
But for me, it was all about the language. Yeah. And I thought it was really interesting because this morning I was like, happened to look it up. I couldn't remember the publication dates. So I pulled it up on Amazon. And like the first four reviews are like one star. And it was like, this book is so boring. And I started laughing because, I mean, it sold 2 million copies.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get further and further out, you know, you get different kinds of readers.
Absolutely.
And I was like, oh, this book is specifically, like if someone has raved to you about this book, it's because not nothing happens. But, you know.
I do know what you mean.
Yeah. That's not what this book is about.
Yes. I love that.
So that just cracked me up. But I really loved this. For me, this book was just really up there. Loved it.
Wow. I honestly haven't really heard much about this book other than just like seeing the cover everywhere for years. I actually don't know why I haven't been drawn to like learn more about it, because what you're saying, it sounds like very much something I would be interested in, because we talk about how like my favorite books are books that others may call boring and books that are about nothing, quotes around that word, and that I just am obsessed with language and in writing. So I'm gonna have to add this one like immediately.
I think you would like it.
It's interesting because like I'm having, so far in this year, I'm having like a mixed reading year, in the sense of like, this time last year, the books that I had read, I loved way more than the books I've read so far this year. But I'm having a better relationship with reading in general this year so far because of the conversation we had at the end of last year, which was shifting goals from being a numbers game to just reading because you love to. And not to say that you can't read to love to and read, want to read a certain amount of books a year. It just like, it wasn't working for me.
Yeah.
And because I haven't read a ton of books either. I think I've read four. And only yesterday did I realize like, oh, if I was keeping track, I'd be off my goal, but I'm not. And thank God, because I just like, I'm loving to read even when I'm not loving the book.
It is so like just comical that we had that conversation really last year.
Yeah.
And this time last year, I mean, I was on a tear plowing through stuff. And this, you know, we came back from the holidays and there was huge COVID outbreak at school. And we've had like some tumultuous things going on at school. And Mark's job has been very challenging. And we just hit like this rough patch and I was in a funk and then I got sick. And I think if I had been in my last year mindset, I would be down on myself about it. And instead, I've been enjoying this audiobook. And I read, I've forgotten the exact name of it, and I gave it to Amy, so I don't have it now. It's like Miss Cecily's, the book I talked about on the previous episode.
Yeah.
It was a gentle read.
Yeah.
Which is like where I am.
Absolutely. That's a really good way to put it.
For your like four books you've read, like what are you noticing about your reading?
That I am also seeking comfort right now. And what have I read this year? I read After Parties, which is a collection of short stories. And the author's name is escaping me right now. He was quite young and passed away before it was published. And his partner, I think, finished the collection for him. And it's just really a heartbreaking situation because he was just like a real, like, it's his only published book collection. And he is now passed. And the publishing world is just seeing it as like a real loss of like a talent. So I read that first and I liked them a lot. I didn't love them, but I really liked them. And then I read Get a Life, Chloe Brown. And we all know how I felt about that. I just read Harlem Shuffle for my book club by Colson Whitehead. It's his newest. And it wasn't for me. And I was surprised because I loved the Nickel Boys so profoundly.
I did too.
That I think I put an unfair amount of expectations on this one to replicate that. But they couldn't be more different. And there is an unbelievably impressive book. And is a good book that just wasn't for me. Like, it wasn't, there are books that I read, I'm like, no, this was a bad book, but that wasn't the case. He does really well, though, subtlety, unlike I think any contemporary writer today is just like, he's so removed, the author is so removed from what he's writing that it comes off so subtle. Like, I never feel his influence ever when I'm reading his book. He really just allows me to read the books that he really allows me to read his books however I'm going to read them. And the same is true for Harlem Shuffle. Like, I never felt manipulated to feel any one way or another the whole time. It was just like up to me to feel a certain way. Just wasn't for me. But then I just like kept feeling like I really want to read something classic that I haven't read before. So then I turned to Sense and Sensibility, and it has just been like, I'm like so eager to read it all day, every day. And I haven't felt that way in a long time. So I'm just really glad to be feeling that way. And I don't know if I would feel that way if I had the added pressure on myself to like, you've got to finish a book by this day to stay on target to get this many books a year. And so I'm just like, I'll finish it when I finish it is just the best feeling.
I think it would, for me, be incredibly hard to write a book and not leave a trace of how I want you to feel about it in it.
And I could be wrong. That was just like, maybe he's not doing that on purpose, but that's just the way I read his books is like, he is truly just the vessel for the story that wants to be told. And like, not ever do I feel I guess, his interpretation of it. And it really does feel like he just truly, like, once he's done with it, it's up to the reader.
I almost sent you a TikTok this morning because I know I have in the past talked to you about, as a middle schooler, I love reading the Lurline Daniels books about teenagers who have cancer.
Keep going.
Someone did a TikTok this morning talking about the Lurline McDaniels books, and I almost sent it to you.
Okay.
And then I realized that I'd sent you, like, felt like I was at my sending Michael TikToks limit for the week, so I stopped.
I saw something on Twitter, and I took a screenshot of it, which was ridiculous, but I didn't want to like it because it was like, I didn't want people to think I liked it.
You can heart it and be like, I'm liking this on behalf of Jill Burkett Ragacy.
Okay, say her name again.
Lurline McDaniels.
Yes, okay, I saw a tweet about it, and it said like, someone, this Twitter user, I don't know who this person is, Sarah is telling me about her favorite author as a child named Lurline McDaniel, and it has like pictures of all the covers.
Oh yeah, all the titles are terrible.
They are horrifying. I mean, like, and the minute I saw it, I was like, is this who Jill was telling me about? And I took a screenshot and I just like totally forgot about it. One, because I was like, no, this can't be it. These are really like on the nose. Like, it's like 1 week to live and
yes,
and like so and so is dying and all of these, yes, like about children too. It's just like,
yeah,
unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it's you know, you were in middle school reading about middle school kids who die of leukemia. I don't know what it was about these books, but I'm telling you, there was one first of all, I'm shocked that I can't remember the name of it because I probably read it 50 times.
I've got a list here. If you can think a little bit, I'll tell you.
Something about like Angel Wings.
The Angels trilogy. Angels watching over me, lifted up by angels until,
yeah,
angels
close my eyes. Yeah, it must mean that it was a trilogy.
There's also the Angels in Pink trilogy. Angels in Pink, Kathleen's story. Angels in Pink, Raina's story. And Angels in Pink, Holly's story. Jill is nodding her head.
Yeah, yeah.
Angel of Mercy, Angel of Hope.
Angels Watching Over Me. That was the one that was like, I mean, yeah. I mean, literally, it's like, some of them are titled things like Don't Die. I'm not even joking. They're, yes, terrible.
There's one called Baby Alicia is Dying.
I've read that one and I remember the plot.
That is the actual title. Did Baby Alicia die? 70. She's written 70 young adult books. Sorry, yeah. I can't get over this.
Yeah, no.
Oh my gosh, now I feel bad. Her career began as a therapeutic way to deal with the trauma when her son, Ben 3, was diagnosed with juvenile diabetes.
Oh. Well,
I don't want to be an asshole, but a lot of people have diabetes. I'm assuming he's fine.
When your therapist said, have you tried journaling?
She made a career out of it.
Okay, we have to stop. I have one last update.
Yeah.
And it involves you, and I'm so excited.
Oh, tell me.
The last episode we recorded before we broke for the holiday, I said to you that I had forgotten that I'd promised to watch Little Women.
Oh, yeah.
And that I was going to download it so I could watch it on the plane. And I did.
Jill, this is actually, we have an episode that will have come out now that this will be a great update because in that episode too, you said like, I need to do that.
And now I've done it.
Yeah. Yay. Tell me about
it. I'm excited to talk to you about it.
Yeah.
I loved it. And I am kicking myself that I was afraid.
Oh, I think it makes sense though.
I really didn't want to be disappointed, and I love, yeah, some of these people involved in the making of it, that I apparently was having big feels and yeah, needed to
absolutely.
Work.
Absolutely. Yes.
Apparently I needed like 3 years to work through those feelings.
Yeah. Literally.
No, I really loved it. I have to tell you, one of the things I thought was, I mean, like perfect is most of the every other adaptation I've ever seen of it, and of course the book, follows chronologically through the girls' lives. And just by chopping up the timeline.
Yes.
And presenting it from the start as Jo's work, like the seminal work of her life.
I just got chills.
Oh my gosh. I mean, like, you see it genuinely from the spirit that brought about the creation of the story. And mm-hmm. Jo is pursuing her dreams, even if it means detaching from her family, and then discovering that her family is really her greatest love.
Jo.
Yes, please.
I have so many chills.
Just doing that. I mean, like, how did that not happen before?
Like, I know. It really refreshed it.
It really, really did. And I loved that it paid attention to small details of life.
Oh.
For me, it was almost like values attention as love. Does that make any sense?
It does.
And like the way the sisters like talk over one another and like sometimes are like so blunt, so true to life.
Yes.
It's like a fresh take without being like, I'm here to do a fresh take.
Right.
Like it doesn't need to be changed. It's just like shown with a new perspective.
Totally.
And I just adored it.
The music's amazing.
The music is amazing.
There were two things in particular that I wanted to talk to you about. And
yes, I couldn't remember what they were.
Okay, and I was being very cagey because I didn't want to like manipulate your experience watching it. Oh, and I guess spoiler alerts if you haven't seen it or read the book. In the movie, at the end, Jo goes after, what's his name?
The professor.
Jo like chases after him because her sisters are like, he loves you. Like, let's go.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I wasn't following what you were talking about. Yes.
And in this movie, there's a moment where that like stops. And then she's sitting with her editor and he's saying, that's not going to work. Like, she has to marry in the end. Like, nobody's going to want to read this. And Jo is very adamant that like, no, she said she didn't want to. She's like happy to blah, blah, blah. And then she negotiates a higher pay, and then she decides, like, okay, fine, I'll write a romantic happy ending. Mm-hmm. And then it cuts to then, like, the happy ending. And Greta Gerwig, the director, has talked about how she wanted to marry what Louisa May Alcott really wanted and what the book does. Because Louisa May Alcott didn't want Jo to marry in the end.
Yeah.
And I guess she does in the book, right?
She does.
Yeah, so, like, I just thought that was so clever. And to your point in how they set up the movie to go like back and forth in timelines and starting with her being a writer, it cutting to that was not, it wasn't jarring in any way. It was just really clever and made a lot of sense. And something else too that Greta Gerwig talks about is that she isn't worried about continuity when she is editing her movies. So like if someone like grabs something in one scene and then grabs it again in another, she like kind of loves that because she's like, you're watching a movie, like it's not real life. And there's one scene in particular at the end when they kiss and then Jo and the professor, they're kissing in the rain and the music swells and then it cuts from another angle and they kiss again, and it's just so, because she left it in there that way, I'm getting teary-eyed, like it's so romantic. I don't know, there's just an energy around it that is unlike the older ones, and the older one is delightful and lovely, but it's like you said, it's not necessarily better, it's just different. And I'm really glad, because then they can both exist in the same world where they're both good on their own merits. Okay, now there is one thing though. Our friend Lily said that she doesn't think Timothy Chalamet made the best Laurie, and I was so curious about that, and I asked her why, and she was like, don't get me wrong, like he did a good job. You have to believe that you can't believe Jo turned him down, and you need like a hunk. And Timothy's cute, but he just isn't Laurie. And I was like, that is very interesting. I want to ask Jill about that.
So the cagey thing you had said to me was that one of our mutual friends had said they felt like one role could have been better cast.
Mm-hmm.
I think you said something like it's fine, but like,
yeah.
They envisioned something better or different. I had that in the back of my mind when I watched it. And it was funny because initially when I was watching it, I was like, I wonder if they're talking about Emma Watson. Because, you know, I know people were surprised that she didn't do the role of Jo. And honestly, I really liked her as Meg.
Yeah, me too.
And I was like, I feel like Meg gets this rep for being dowdy. when that's not in the context, just because you want to be married and have kids doesn't mean you're not also cute and fun. And right. So I was like, oh God, I hope it's not that. But then you get to this, basically I got all the way to like the scene where that happens. And I was like, oh, it's Laurie.
Right.
Like, he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine. And he's not bad. And I love him as an actor. And it was just a perspective that I hadn't heard yet that I thought was interesting.
That, yes. Because, I mean, I don't know that I would have thought of it. But because it was planted, as soon as I thought of it, I could not unsee it.
Yeah.
It didn't take away from my enjoyment of it.
Of course.
But I agree with her. Like, not only does he have to be hot, but also he has, I mean, in the beginning of the book, I think, you know, you have to feel kind of sad for him. Mm-hmm. He's over there with his grandfather and, you know, he's never had the warmth and the family experience that the girls have. Yeah. And just the like, you know, and we get to experience it here too, just having four kids. Like, there's something different about big families. And I don't know. There's something cozy. I don't know what the right word absolutely. Is about it.
In like small spaces where you're sharing together. And
there's just this dynamic. You end up pairing with different people at different points for fun or not fun. And it's like that whole, I don't know, the beginning of the book almost, you know, you see him seeing that from the mm-hmm. outside and being accepted in. And then later in life when it's like, well, great. So, but you need to marry someone in society and like be a person. And he's like, feels conflicted about it and angry. And like, I don't know that. And he's wandering aimlessly through Europe and, you know, just right. feeling, I don't know. I think it's a really fine line between him coming off as like a rich asshole playboy. Yeah. And like this person who's seen a different version of life and mm-hmm. would like to make different choices and isn't sure how. But that's like all internal.
Yeah.
And it needs to be like broody.
Yeah, brooding. There was a lack of brooding.
He's too cute.
He's cute. He's very cute. I would love to be described as too cute.
Broody. He's adorable.
Yeah.
But also did a really good job. I mean, it's like the nitpickiest of nitpicks.
No, because it's not, I hear what you're saying, because it's not saying he did a bad performance. He just did, because I haven't read the book, so in my head I thought he did great, but like, it's an interesting and I think thoughtful and fair take, is that like, this is how he also could have played it, because this is what's happening inside of his head. There are two scenes in particular that I loved.
Yeah.
Were Amy's discussion of marriage and how she doesn't care what the poets have to say because she's a woman. And thought I was just like, yeah. And Joe talking to Marnie upstairs and saying how like she's so sick of women being considered as only, you know, worthy of marriage, pretty, like they have hearts, they have minds as well as hearts and all these things, but I'm so lonely. Like, we yes. always talk about feminism as one or the other. And you aren't a feminist if you want the other. Yes. And I thought that was such a subtle and lovely reality, was that you can, it is important to recognize that actually, like, yes, all of these things, and I am lonely. Like, I'm allowed to feel like something's lacking in my life while also wanting to be an independent person.
Yes, that is one of my favorite moments also.
Yeah.
Good recommendation.
I'm so glad you liked it. I knew you would like it. And I'm glad you were finally able to watch it. But listen, this has been so fun. I want to do sidebar episodes every season because we just get to talk.
I do too. It was fun. And I think because we're both book obsessed, it ends up being about books anyway.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah. A little bit sports, who'da thunk.
That was a lot of like wild sidebar.
Yeah, childhood ailments in books that are killing kids, and Little Women. This is an amazing episode.
We covered a lot of ground.
If you are doing LibroFM's challenge with Jill, if you have read any of these books, if you watched the Super Bowl, whatever, reach out to us. Email us at info@bookitpod.com. We have a bookshop. Go visit it. See some of the books we've talked about. bookshop.org/shop/bookitpod. And spend some time with us on social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at bookitpod. Jill, I love you. I hope you're feeling better.
Me too.
Talk to you later.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Book It, a bi-weekly podcast where we talk frankly about books.
Book It is available across podcast platforms.
Subscribe to never miss an episode, and don't forget to leave a review before you go.
We'd love to stay in touch. You can find us online at bookitpod.com or on Instagram and Twitter at bookitpod.
Want to read something you heard on today's episode? Visit us at bookshop.org/shop/bookitpod.
Book It was created by hosts Jill Burkett-Ragasey and Michael Woodson, with sound design and production by Madeline Call at Honeysuckler.